We're live.
I don't think we have a microphone yet, but that's okay. Maybe we do. Anyway, welcome everybody. We call our meeting July 20th to order. Public comment period. Ghosts of Christmas past. Seeing no one here from the public, we'll move on to before we move for the approval of the minutes, I'd like to make a note that we have distinguished Bridget Bauer here today in place of Mr. Bob Hendricks, who I'm guess is hopefully having fun.
Yes, he is.
Good for him. Good for him. And Susie Schultz is here from the Chamber of Commerce, representing the Visitor Center. Okay, so approval, and we'll show that Bill Clayton and Heather Fortner aren't here at the moment, but we do have a quorum. And yeah, it's a grand entrance issue, isn't it? Lady gets married, and now she wants a grand entrance. Okay. Good morning, Heather. Okay, so if you've had a chance to look at the minutes of the last meeting, we could get a motion to approve or any corrections, additions.
You know, I noticed that it said Mike Pond was here and did a presentation under new business.
Yes.
He was?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure. It just seemed a little odd to me. So.
Oh. Yeah, he made a presentation regarding the sales tax issue, and then basically we did an overview of the infrastructure needs of the city and those kinds of things, and he's been going around all the different committees and
great
and advisory boards. Okay, let's all jump to make a motion.
I'll move that we approve
Good
the
job,
minutes
Ed.
Of the July 20th of the I'm sorry of the June 15th meeting of the Promotions Committee.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Any comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Monthly reports. Susie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
June's results as compared to 2005, you can see that the phone calls are down just a skosh. Website sessions have dramatically gone up. The total visitors has gone up considerably also. And the bulk mail, which would be the fulfillment for advertising, is down, but that's in direct relationship to the ads that we have out. So there's not much coming through right now. Sunset Magazine, I think I've seen 5 or 6 names. And Travel 50 and Beyond is about the same, so it's very low. And then moving on to the 800 calls, you can see that our market really is pretty much Southern California and the Central Valley. Yesterday was very busy at the Visitor Center, and I attribute that to the heat, of course. But we had people coming in from Israel, bunches of people. So that was nice to see.
We had 5 people from Belgium stay with us last night and the night before, and they went to Hearst Castle. And
oh yeah, we had a beautiful day yesterday.
It was Chamber absolutely Congress spectacular.
Yeah. And that's all that I've got.
Great. We for those of you who didn't hear, they've kind of changed the format of our report. If it's okay with everybody, I asked Susie before the meeting. Or made a comment that we really didn't need to see the mailings within the chamber with regards to like the newsletter and soundings and those kinds of things. It doesn't really muddy the report, but if it's not necessary, it would clean it up a little bit for us.
Right. This is the same report that we use for the directors' meetings for the chamber, and so that's why it was included in there.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't have to do a special report for us.
Okay.
If, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it.
Any other questions for Susie or comments? Okay, thank you. Budget report. I'm going to get John to jump in here. It looks to me, and again, remember, and I'm not really sure how this is, frankly, how this is to be handled, because this is the last posting for our fiscal year, And so you can see that we have a $14,000 balance available. And I'm not sure how Bob intends to handle that portion of it, because according to your reports, that money has already been spent for the most part. Do you know?
Yeah, I think it's just, again, what we deal with, you know, from years past. It's just that there's always going to be a lag time. Because I did an audit, made sure that, you know, we pretty much exhausted that budget. And, you know, according to my calculations, adding up all the invoices, which is probably the, you know, the simplest way to do it, of what the city is actually going to be billed, we zeroed it out. So I think that's all that's reflected. And that $14,000 is pretty consistent with what I had prior to the last bill going out. So I'm sure once that last bill hits, then that $14,000 will be eliminated. I don't see it being, you know, I don't think there'll be any money that would necessarily need to be carried over.
Well, I wasn't thinking of carryover. I was thinking about bills being paid in the new fiscal year going against our new budget. No? So there's adjustments made, Bridget, or?
Yes. Generally, in June, we have to mark our invoices for either fiscal year, the previous fiscal year, or the new fiscal year.
Okay.
And I do invoice the community promotion and advertising and made sure it was from the past fiscal year.
And that's why we don't really find out citywide how the budget ended up until around August.
Right.
Till after all the reconciliations and things, adjustments are made. Okay, good. Thank you. Let's see. Is there any questions about our current report? I'd like to, if I could, call your attention to the TOT report and kind of let you know where we stand. May of this year was up 4.4% or 4.3% over May of last year, which is good news. Year to date, we are $144,157 ahead of the same time year to date of last year, which is terrific. Which is about a 9.9% increase over last year, which is great. I also, in looking at the totals for June, I'm going to guess June, when we get it next month, we'll find that June was better this year than last year also. So that's really good. I think we came in, I don't remember, I had it written down somewhere with regards to what the actual budget was for TOT for this year. And I believe, as estimates from the finance department suggested, that we would come in relatively close to budget. So while we did see an increase over last year, it's a good idea. I'm glad, because the city budgeted a slight increase too. So, David?
Hey, interesting question is how I was noticing too that it's a higher total revenue with a lower occupancy rate. Does that mean fewer rooms sold, but they're getting a higher rate?
Yes.
Is my only assumption.
Yes.
Well, and Ed, it also seems to me like it's been really busy this year, and I don't know whether that's just me, but and looking at the visitor center report, it really seems to indicate that. I mean, and I know it's the heat in the valley, which we're all thankful for, but it seems like it's been really busy, which is exciting.
Yes, it is. The only comment I would make, having talked to Doug Redican, who owns Roses, who stands down on the podium on the Embarcadero quite often, doing his little barking for garlic fries down there. He said that we have a lot of day visitors. A lot of day visitors. He says it's amazing how many folks come from the valley just for the day. They drive that 2 hours, 2.5 hours over here just to get out of that heat, and then they go home. So, you know, it doesn't, that busyness doesn't reflect in occupancy in the hotels, because I know that June, while business is good, we were down like 22 rooms from last June. And in July right now, we're a little ahead of last July, but it's, you know, it's fairly flat as far as occupancy goes. So
I wonder if that shows that the fear of the high gas prices, if you have people coming all that way for the day, is not obviously at least reflected immediately here.
Well, that's one of, and one of the clues to that would be to monitor and take a look, which we don't do as a committee, but maybe it's, maybe we should start looking at it with our purview changing with our bylaws about doing more local promotion. Maybe we should take, start taking a look at sales tax, because I think that that's where you're going to see the effects of gas prices and occupancy, the lack of increase in occupancy rates. But yeah, I think that sales tax would be more, you know, more on, in touch with, especially since we don't have, you know, like a huge new business, you know, that would show a big spike in sales tax or something like that. But I don't know how you feel about that. I bet we could probably, I don't know the reporting process is the, because I know Bob was explaining that, that you get some of the sales tax figures from the state. Some of them come from, you have different sources that you actually get reporting come at different times of the year. So it's not near as consistent as your folks, as the city's own accounting of TOT, for example, because you're at the mercy of other agencies to get reports.
I'm sure that's correct.
Oh, okay. Well, you did so good on the billing thing that I just pretended that you're part of the finance department, I guess. I'm sorry. Okay, I promise not to put you on the spot the rest of the meeting. But yeah, maybe we could talk. I'll talk to someone over at the finance department and talk to Bob. Maybe we can get some kind of reporting on some kind of regular basis on the sales tax, if that's, if everybody wants that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that would be interesting. It sounds like you're alluding to the fact that people won't spend as much when they're here because they're spending so much on gas to get here, which is true. But that being said, people are going to spend something while they're here. They're not going to spend nothing. So even if someone's coming over for the day and they're not spending $300, they're, you know, they're doing something while they're here.
Right. It'll also give us another measurement on people in the marketplace, because if everything stays the same in the TOT tax won't reflect people who just come for the day, the sales tax will, and it'll give us another indication of tourism in our market. So I think it's a good idea.
Okay. We can do that. I think that's about it for budget stuff. I'm going to we'll talk about our marketing plan and the budget subcommittee report under new business, if that's okay. If there's no other questions, we can move on to the ad agency report.
I'm glad I brought those for you.
I know. Yeah, thank you, Ed, for being
here. You're welcome. We were left over from your presentation.
Right. But this is something that we had talked about for our, this was done in our previous budget, and these folders were utilized for press purposes. They'll house whatever materials we're going to be sending to the appropriate press. Also will be included in that will be the DVD. So again, we talked about this in the budget subcommittee that last year we did a lot out of the budget to supply us tools for public relations, and now this year we'll be able to do the campaign. So we've got the press folders, we'll have the DVD, and we'll be able to have a bigger outreach to try to get that that earned media. And we have boxes and boxes of these, so I'll figure out how we want to get those distributed. But for the most part, I would think our first run will be to a select group of travel writers and get the DVD in their hands, and then we'll go from there. But we can utilize these folders for our trade shows, whatever the purpose, you know, whatever they may be utilized for. We have quite a few of them, so.
Great.
And we're kind of at the end. We're sort of in a period of planning. We quickly, after the budget's approved, I want to do some new creative that I'll be presenting at the next meeting for this new budget. And that'll kind of coincide with some of the new publications that we're going to be talking about, too, that'll be able to hit those readers a little bit more specifically.
Okay, where are we on the DVD and the cover and all that stuff?
I wanted to use this. We're out of budget, you know, as I mentioned. So this will be in the new budget. So
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and have them duplicated. We approve the cover, so I should probably have those duplicated by the next meeting. so we're ready to go. And I'll have a plan of attack at the next meeting too on what we how we want to first utilize those.
Okay.
Part of that was predicated on, as Ed, you know, because you're in the budget subcommittee, was the PR plan. So if we get that PR plan approved, then we'll be able to move forward.
Okay. What else?
That's all I had for right now.
Okay. Public Relations Subcommittee report. Did you guys meet?
We didn't have a meeting.
Yeah, kind of waiting. I mean, both of these kind of, in a way, kind of waiting on the mark.
As far as latest is that they're still working on it. It's still not, I'm not going to release it till it's perfect, and it's still not perfect, quite frankly. And if it doesn't get perfect, then we'll do something else, because it's not still where it needs to be from the problems that we had in the past. And right now, Jeremy and Stuart, who are both involved in it, are not charging us for their time. It's got to get done where we're still seeing some things like the AAA ratings, and it's just a matter of whether the elements, the software that Jeremy's company has is gonna just give us what we really want. And if it doesn't, then we're going to have to, you know, look at another way to do it.
Because we have thrown quite a bit of money his way with regards to that, haven't we?
We've made an initial payment, but we have not. We're not paying for any of the time. I mean, the money that we has been spent up to this point was to get all the data, get everything, and put into the database. So whatever we end up doing, I mean, that work would have had to been done anyway.
Right.
But as far as perfecting it, making it right, and making sure that we're not paying for that.
What's the holdup with Jeremy and Stuart?
I get back emails, and I'll talk about how we. I know one of the things was the AAA rating, that it still shows up. We need to take that off. There just seems like that each time we have a new look at it, there's still something else that needs to be perfected. So it's just not ready to be
debuted,
you know, to go live.
What do you mean take off the AAA rating?
Well, what's happened is that his software is limiting us from doing what we really want to do. In other words, if you put in a database, when you do a database search, so in other words, if somebody comes in and says, well, I want all the hotels that offer that are pet friendly, you've got to set up a grid for that. And so and each hotel falls under that grid. So then what happens is that his software is not recognizing what we need it to do. If that's about the simplest way I can explain it.
When it first was going to, well, you put it up once.
Right.
And when he put it up, all of us were pet friendly, and we go, okay, this is wrong. So, you know, so that's why it was okay, back down again. And so they've been struggling with that app, with the software application, you know, ever since to get it right. So, well, I guess all I can suggest is that we just stay on him and try to get this thing.
Yeah, I have been, and you know, I've talked about, you know, Sean make a request, and we, you know, took care of him, and that's how we're going to do it for right now.
Okay, because I know the Harbor Festival has really taken a big step and got real technical, which I think is terrific, in offering, encouraging lodging properties and other businesses to join the Harbor Festival by putting up specials with regards to that, tickets and those kinds of things. And then linking back and that. So that's one of the things that we want to get, because we've got it now up on our site. We want to get that posted on our member part of our site with the chamber. So,
well, with the software that we've had in the past, it's a matter of education to the people that want to do it. They've always been able to go in and make the changes. It's just a matter of formulating some way that we get all the hotel, you know, people together and say, okay, this is what you need to do to be able to change the content of your specials, of your, you know, most people want us to do that for them, it seems like.
All right, this is part of what Pete and I have been working on, and with the chamber, we have access, the chamber has access to make those changes.
Right.
What they didn't have was the personnel to physically go in and take care of them when they were needed. I have done a little bit already. I've made some changes to the pages, put them up, looked at them. Everything's working fine. Pete gave me a list yesterday. I'm going to do that over the weekend. All of that goes well, then we'll, the chamber will be approaching everyone for do they want to run specials. We can put them up like in an instant.
Okay.
So that part of it actually, I don't think that'll be the visitor center part of the site.
Well, ultimately,
they have access to put up everything.
Well, ultimately, though, you're aware that what we did was allocate the funding to go in and actually create that database, which supposedly was going to, one of the things that were going to be was that members or whoever wanted to participate would be given a username and password to be able to log in and actually, you know, without the whole HTML idea, be able to go in and just, you know, put a special on the site themselves. And I know that when we do that,
I have some reservations about how many people you give access to the website.
Maybe I'll send you a link to the admin site of the County Visitors and Conference Bureau's website, because when you submit a special to them, it is reviewed before it's allowed to go up. So there is a review process there that makes sure that stuff like you just said doesn't happen. And then you'll get an email back responding, say, "Hey, your special has been approved," and those kinds of things. It's pretty nice, and it sure takes the workload off of people in their office, because it's changing constantly as far as the specials and mm-hmm. dating and those kinds of things.
Boom. So do the people physically have access to the website? And
yes.
Changes.
No, when you say the website,
they don't have access to their that page of where their hotel is.
Right.
That would be what would be the case with the database.
Right.
This password wouldn't get them into the website.
No.
It wouldn't get them into the home page. It would only get them into the hotel listing.
That's the idea anyway, but okay.
But I have found that most people, even though if they have the ability to do it, they just want somebody else to do it, which is fine.
Yeah.
But because they're busy and they're not really,
right.
And they just about the time they get one person trained at the front desk, that person quits or gets fired or, you know, whatever happens. And so then that person's no longer educated to do it. So the easiest thing is to simply send an email and say, "This is what I want on." And that may be for a while, you know, how it ends up getting done.
Well, I know that the other thing was the ability to currently with the county site is that you can put pictures up yourself and those kinds of things. So I know that when you start doing that with specials, it's going to get a little bit more complicated, because now you're emailing and attaching photographs and those kinds of things that would have to be put up on specials pages. But that's, you know, I mean, that's here to be. All I wanted originally was when you clicked on the lodging part of the site that you didn't see the same four hotels just like you do right now. Every time you go into lodging, you see that. And I wanted those to rotate, in all fairness to all the people. There's no reason why, you know, to me it's just like doing a search in Google. You know, the first couple of pages is about it. If you're in the natural search, 3, 4, 5 pages down, forget it. You're not going to get, people don't have patience for that. And that's what concerns me, and that's what I thought the original intent was. And this thing exploded into now, you know, I understand the technical thing is before you can do anything like that, you got to create a database so that you can, and then tell the database what it needs to do. And I understand that, but it's gotten...
Well, I think part of
it's
it was,
grown.
Too, that most people, when they do a search, they want to start alphabetically. See it as a proof. It's still not, you know, where I think it needs to be.
Well, did you really answer Bill's question with regards to the AAA thing that you never...
Evidently, it's where we... What's happened is it gives... If you don't have a AAA rating, it still has a AAA on it, but it says no rating. And I don't think the hotels, if they're not, they're not a AAA member... You know, it's a matter of programming it to not do that, is what, and that was the last thing that I saw where it still had the AAA.
Everybody had AAA on there, whether they were AAA or not.
Or it's just said no rating.
Oh, okay.
Ed, I have a question.
Not rated.
In developing the website, which has grown very quickly, have you considered down the line that you need a webmaster?
Well, John is. John's company has
well,
that.
Okay, my interpretation of a webmaster is it's a single clearinghouse who's responsible for the content and technical and daily maintenance.
Well, I think the problem is you have two websites. You have a Chamber of Commerce website, and you have a visitor website, and they hit each other all the time, because again, there's always a conflict of, well, what's our responsibility versus what the chamber's responsibility. Well, yeah. And what's happened in the past is when the chamber was doing it, there were mistakes being made. There was times when the site actually just went down. And so then it was saying, okay, this is before somebody like Billy got involved, was, okay, you take it over and make sure that it's correct. So they were still kind of in that area where we need at some point, I think, to decide, you know, I personally think it would be good to have two separate sites, to have a visitor site and have a chamber site, but that, again, is a whole other issue. But I think that would probably, and where they're both linked simultaneously, because they conflict a bit, you know, because one is a chamber site is predominantly talking about local business, whereas the visitors don't care about a lot of that other material that's on there. They want to be fulfilled with activities and, you know, all of those things. So it's,
and don't confuse the term webmaster with the construction of the website itself, because our website isn't very sophisticated.
I know the mechanics that are involved. It's just my thought that if you have a single entity that's responsible for it on a daily basis, it would eliminate a lot of confusion and expedite things.
But as it pertains to new software,
I guess I'm imagining somebody with a little more expertise.
Well, but the thing is, new image technology developed the software. They built the software, and so that's why they were hired to, and we purchased this software from New Image, and New Image is responsible for getting it on the website. Am I right, New Image? Getting it on the website and getting it working. Once that happens, then you've got the Johns. His company can go in and say, okay, this is the search criteria we want and those kinds of mm-hmm. things, and then working with the visitor center to make sure all that comes about.
But I think it's a good point that Ann brings up, in that we've always struggled with responsibilities, because it's like, you know, then my responsibility has been the homepage, but yet the homepage got changed not too long ago. Did you make a change in the homepage?
Yes, we did.
So
we removed the 4th of July.
But again,
and put up a different picture.
Who put the birds back on?
Birds that are not on the front page. I put a picture
I got
of
them
the.
Yesterday.
I put
the,
a picture. I put a. Go to the home page. Yeah, I put that picture up.
Well, yesterday I got bird audio over that.
Oh, the bird audio's there. Yeah, you hear the little. Yeah, but it's only, yeah. You hear a couple screeches of the seagulls.
Then,
I thought it was very nice. It was just enough that it didn't irritate me.
Right. No, that's our responsibility.
In fact,
we did that if you don't like it.
The flash part of the site.
I live across the street from the cormorants.
Right.
I hear that all day long.
The flash part, the top section of the website right now,
yeah,
is the best I've ever seen this website look.
I second that.
Yeah, it
no,
is
very
absolutely
nice.
Fantastic.
And I like the birds.
Yeah, they're not, like I said, you get that one little thing, especially if you live in Fresno, you don't hear those
that's
sounds.
True. That's true.
So this is part of the redesign that we've done. This is the new flash
that's
been
nice.
Added to the website.
Conveniently,
this is really
the
kind of stuff
pictures from the brochure.
It's probably the most appropriate for us to do as an agency.
Right.
The changing of the dates, again, one reason why we did that was because, frankly, the dates weren't getting changed, so then we would do it. So I guess my point is, and it doesn't need to be resolved today, but it's, I think we need to revisit again, especially if Billy's going to be more involved now. I just want to know what I'm supposed to do, because if I don't know clearly what I'm supposed to do. And
talk about that, because it's kind of interesting that I wasn't really sure where, Bill, you were going with your role as far as the website was concerned, because I know you were here when we voted unanimously to say, John, you take over taking care of the homepage of the website. And so now all of a sudden, it's you okay. doing it, so everybody's thinking it's kind of okay, but when someone else was doing it well back, it wasn't.
Hang on. The only change we made to the front page and I would do it again if it happened again, is that the 4th of July was on it on the 10th of July.
Right.
Okay. It was my first hands-on with being able to make changes to the website. I went through it. I found a picture. I put it up. I saw it worked. I changed a little content under the picture. It worked. That's all I did to the front page. It was almost like that little section right there might be the section that you leave open. And as we go and leave open for the chamber to change or webmaster, however you want to call it, if John puts something up there that's, you know, that was a 4th of July event coming up. I think there's another event coming up. That might be the spot you want to put it. And maybe that's the part of the front page that the chamber has access to. The rest of it stays. We didn't touch any of it. The rest of the changes I'll be making had to do with the chamber's part of the site. Things that are outdated, hotels that are not members, hotels that are members. He gave me a long list of changes to be made, which was really good, but they're all in the back side of the site.
Well, the problem is that what John's taken is built a database of the hotels, for example, in Morro Bay. That database is as current as it was when you got the information. So if you go, I say you, but I mean if the chamber goes in and makes a bunch of changes to that portion of the website, it is not going to make it to the database. That's my guess. Because the database had to be hand built. So any changes that are made have to make it to.
It's myself changing prices, data. I make the change and I can pull up, depending on what membership level I'm at, I can pull up different things on my website that work. I mean, all of that works. I wasn't saying anything because I'm not sure what the issues are that Jeremy's having right now, but from what you're wanting and what he's providing, it doesn't seem like a real...
It shouldn't be a big deal.
It really shouldn't.
Right. I mean, so I'm thinking that maybe you should get a hold of John, have a meeting with Jeremy, bring your friends from Florida in, and get it resolved.
Except he's in Florida. You want to fly him out?
Yeah.
Well, I think, too, that's a good point, in that any changes that have been made since we first got, you know, the material, then we're going to need to incorporate those.
Right.
Well, but I think a meeting would be good. I mean, to be honest with you, I've get a very clear direction on what it needs to be, and I just don't want it to be released again until it's perfect. It's a lot further along than it was when it went out as a mistake, which hopefully that would be the case.
I think on that part of the site and where right now what we have up is basically a static page with a listing of hotels. Okay, it's a static page. In other words, you go in and you physically change the type and you put it back up, and that's the way it is. What they're wanting, and I don't understand why this is a problem, is there should be a form that you go in and you make your changes. You can add, delete, or edit a hotel, and that form then goes into the database, and when somebody queries, and you can also have check if it's a 4-star check. I mean, they're just boxes. And that's all part of the database. So instead of making a change, like if I were making changes to the hotel, I would fill out the form. Okay? And then the form would put all the information there instead of me making static changes. And through this form, that is what goes into the database. And so that everything changes completely. In other words, the database changes. Everything changes. What you see changes. It's just... And so that's I'm kind of confused as why any of that's a problem, because it's just basically making a table or a form, and that's what I fill out to make changes to that part of the website.
Well, sorry to take so long on this, but it just seems
no,
pretty important.
Vital.
So
also,
before I should go back to the Public Relations Subcommittee, although we don't have anything to report on, I would say before we move off the, that list of things, is that maybe the next thing we should do, and again, John has suggested this early on, it's already now a month in, and courtesy of local friends, of course, we've gotten some promotion for this. Maybe the next time that we would meet would be to decide, based on getting some press and seeing how this is playing out, to decide where we want to carry this. I know John said you don't go big on something like this till you make sure it's working first. So maybe our next meeting of the subcommittee should be how gather either empirical evidence or hard evidence that this is or is not having an effect, and then decide if we want to take it and expand the concept to a broader market. I've only spoken with Pete at the visitor center, and again on a anecdotal level, he tells me the city of San Luis is doing this now, or wants to do this, or take the concept and do it. But he also said, interestingly enough, that he's had repeat orders for the buttons. You know, we found a different vendor, and he's ordering them in like 200 and 500 quantities now. He just sent 20 of them down to McClintock's. So it's very interesting that you have out of city stores and vendors whose personnel will be wearing I Love Torres Morro Bay buttons. When I arrived in Los Angeles Union Station off the train from Chicago a week and a half ago, went to get a cup of coffee from the front girl vendor in the big, you know, the coffee shop as you walk in. The first thing she said to me is, "I must have that button." And I thought, well, that'd be good. I mean, if all the people coming to get their morning coffee, getting on the California trains and seeing that button, that's great. So, I guess that the next step might be maybe we have a meeting to decide if we want to take this campaign in any other level, and propose we have such a meeting perhaps in the next, before the next meeting in August, that we see if the campaign is. I don't know if anyone has other anecdotal stories. I know that all the counter help at Giovanni's fish market is wearing them. I don't know if other people have seen or are collecting the data, but if they are and filter to us, maybe we'll bring that up at our next meeting.
Our staff is wearing them, and I know that Sean was, from Ascot was one of the guys that bought a bunch of them. Paul Van Burden bought a bunch. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you were there or not, but there was a lot of people in the audience that were new at the business forum that didn't have buttons, and so because Paul was late to the meeting, I took his bag of buttons and I passed them out. And when he got there, he had a check on where we are with this, because we have avoided going, you know, going public as far as a lot of press goes, with the exception of the Bay News. I think they're the only ones that, you know.
And I think that was rightly John's advice, is you don't invite 60 Minutes in to cover this story until we're sure that everyone really does love the tourists.
Right.
There's not some undercover, disgruntled person pretending to be a troublesome or difficult tourist, just testing and goading the city to see how far we're going to smile. So, yeah, let's play that out for the remaining warm month of the summer here and see how that works, and then maybe we'll have an ability to come back to John maybe at the end of the summer, maybe at about the same time as you're going to be planning the strategy for where the outreach is going for that package, the success of this as reflected in the media. Maybe the Tribune could say, hey, Morro Bay had a great summer. They ended up doing a Labor Day wrap-up story, and it was because, and then those kinds of news clippings could be done in a montage that becomes part of a printed insert that goes in something like that brochure.
I think what I was originally trying to say is that you just want to make sure that this is out enough, and I think that probably by the end of the summer it would be. I think the other part of it is that we that once we release this to the major, you know, media sources, is that we have a plan of who's going to be the spokesperson, that you identify some key people, like you just mentioned, like with Ascot Suites, and, you know, you have a list of people who can embrace the story, that are going to be articulate, that are going to be positive about it, because the press is going to want to, you know, if we score a home run, which I think that, you know, it's a viable situation that you'd probably get some pretty good press for this. We just want to be prepared for it. So we can, if they come to town and they want to talk to some people about, well, tell me why you love tourists. I think that, you know, the other thing that we might think about doing, and I know it's just what the Bay News has done, you might want to take it to the next level, and we might even want to approve it today, is to go more locally with this. In other words, like, you know, KSBY, and because what had happened there is then people would become more educated enough to where if the other mainstream media, so like the Today Show or somebody, you know, just as an example, would come, then the public would be aware of it. Because the worst thing you want is, as I stated before, is that somebody big comes and interviews people and they go, well, I don't know anything about it.
Well, I think that before that, that I think the PR subcommittee could make that decision based on information that they've got from what I consider the main distribution source, which is the visitor center, until we get feedback from that, say, okay, how widespread is this growing to? Because, you know, they're relatively inexpensive.
They are. It's a cheap campaign looking
really
at those
is.
Things. I mean, I'm willing to go, and sure, I'll even do the Congleton show or something. I mean, if we can figure out a hook that would reach a lot of people, it's going to be hot. You've got the fair coming up, you know, and create a venue for going on the radio and even making that a sort of what you call it, it's a light news story in a sense. They have a color piece, I guess, is what you call it, something along those lines. I think that would be a better audience than, say, KCBX. But yeah, all right, well, maybe then why don't we schedule a subcommittee meeting to discuss where to take the campaign next in the next few weeks.
Okay.
Sure.
Great. I think it's as part of that too, and again, it doesn't have to be formalized in, you know, a written press release. But David, it's your campaign, so, and you're articulate. Maybe you could give me a little couple paragraphs. I think you already have,
we
actually
did the brief one, yeah.
Right, but if you want to put something together, then what I could do is kind of take that and then make that into the in a form of a press release. So then when we meet, we'll have a press release to approve that would be going out, you know, to the local media. And then if the committee's comfortable, you know, we'll have David be the spokesperson for it, and we can put him out on the circuit.
Yeah, I've done, my face has been on KSBY more times than my parents can remember. So I think that's good. And I think not just our current press release has a quote from me and a quote from Ed, speaking also on behalf of hoteliers and business people, but maybe what the next press release needs to have assorted quotes from restaurateur, merchant vendor, as well as someone from the hotel.
Right. I think that would be good.
As well.
Well, not to mention that you've got our city fathers, if you want to call it that, but the city council's behind this, and most of the staff. I mean, I haven't heard any of the staff. Everybody loves the idea. So, I mean, to have your leadership be behind the idea, you know, speaks well, too, so maybe
that
a quote from the mayor.
Down at the, I haven't been inside City Hall in a while, Bridget, but are the folks behind the desk at City Hall wearing buttons?
I don't know that everybody in City Hall has buttons.
I was wondering if we should have a few buttons left for the people who ever have the shift behind the desk there, be it morning or afternoon, because a visitor coming in who just is lost or confused or for some reason sees City Hall on that corner may come in, and that's not quite the visitor center, but it certainly might be a good point of outreach. Maybe I'll make a note to have Paul get some buttons for the desk.
The way we do it, and hopefully, I mean, a lot of our staff take them home with them, but what we ask is that you just leave them in our office so that when you come on,
city, create more tourism.
Yep, and I agree.
And as much as we love it, Anne is so shy, but she had a special custom version of the button. Which just, here, why don't we walk this over to the camera, just because it's more fun than I, and you know, it's true, as I was riding my bike down to the visitor center to see Paul yesterday, I was cut off by an older couple in a gray Porsche convertible, you know, who didn't obey a stop sign, and I just took a deep breath and said, I'm still pedaling, and I love tourists, and it's really helped quite a lot. There we have a bit of a, there we have a slight modification.
on the half shell. That's cute.
But I don't think we've had, I haven't heard, again, empirically enough that much negative stuff. When people begin to get gruff with me about, oh, well, you know, they this and that, I said, and you just ask them simple questions. And just how long do they bother you? So 3 o'clock on Friday till 3 o'clock on Sunday. And then the answer I give them is something I heard when I was working in some very undeveloped areas of the Philippines from some Peace Corps volunteers we were with, is, you know, the old saying they had, which is, we get to go home. But you see, this is the thing, when the people get upset with the tourists who come, they said, you know, and Morbay's beautiful, and you get to live here. Oh. And suddenly it kind of washes over them, and that 48 hours that provides a lot of income and revenue can be made to pass. So yeah, I find that a little diffusion goes a long way.
Well, I think that, you know, part of this, and we've talked years about this, and I don't think we've really ever done it, but, you know, we may want to think about for this next year as a localized campaign, and now that we have a publisher with us on our committee, is, again, some positive articles about the impact of tourism financially. Because I think what you have to do over time is educate the residents of the value. And if it's a column or whatever it might be, but each month, you know, if there was an article that talked about where, you know, we could work with the city on this, is that, you know, the TOT dollars went specifically, you know, to this, or because it all goes into the general fund. So I mean, you'd have to be clear about it, but I mean, but the bottom line is, and just letting people know that the dollars that are spent here, there is a value for what, you know, what they're going to get. Because most people, whether it be I Love Tourists or selling a product or whatever, nowadays it's what's in it for me. And I think if we let people know, here's what's in it for you, you know, that to put up with these people for this amount of...
And that's the quote in the press release that probably needs to come from one of the city elders or fathers, as you mentioned. That's probably the part of the press release that would need to come from, I would say, that person.
Well, I mean, one you could start with was just the percentage of the TOT that goes into the general fund, and then what does the general fund pay for?
Well, not just TOT.
You mean what percentage?
What percentage, right.
What were you saying is what percentage of the general fund is made up from sales tax and TOT?
Right, which is obviously big.
Two-thirds.
And how many people's salaries are paid by the tourists?
Well, I think what we need to do is, as the PR subcommittee, will, you know, have several phases. Obviously, phase one being getting the press release out to more local, saturate it more locally, and then we can take it on the steps you have, John, because I agree with you. I think that what we haven't done, I don't think the promotions committee, is create enough of a buzz locally about how important tourism really is. So if we can bring that to the forefront, I think it will help in all situations.
Is it a good venue to use? I mean, I guess for those who can do Monday nights, is just as we've done in some recent ones when we introduced it, is use the city council meetings as a forum, especially as it's summer, especially as our weekends are crowded, and say, I just hope, you know, the meeting will be held on a Monday night, and say, I hope you all noticed this past Saturday and Sunday, if it was anything like this past couple Saturdays and Sundays. We've only had really two main Saturdays and Sundays since the 4th of July weekend. It's really summer's early. Maybe continue to make it a routine part so that someone rotates someone from the committee speak at City Council and just continue to update it and use the media forum through the television as well for that.
I agree. Yeah, I did once, you know, I made one presentation and my goal was to continue that, you know, in various ways. It's hard sometimes to get to all of them, but I definitely think that's a great, it is a great forum to be able to get the word out, because there's a lot of people that are watching this at home later on. So I agree.
Kim, you have the date for the next meeting, just so I can put it down, City Council meetings?
Yeah, they postponed or
they
canceled or whatever. Right.
Oh, okay.
Which will give the PR committee chance to reconnoiter and get together. So.
Reconnoiter.
Okay, if we could, parking plan. I will tell you that he did do based on our we prefaced the presentation by saying that this hasn't been approved by the promotions committee as yet, and it also hadn't been finalized and approved by the city council, which was what our intent was, to take this once we approve it, take it to council and present the concept and where we're going with that, which we will do. That being said, John made the presentation and PowerPoint to the Little Thursday Business Forum. And I think it was fairly well received, and John did a really good job of it. So, anyway, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I thought that, and I mentioned this to Ed, that this PowerPoint that we presented to the meeting that he just spoke of would be appropriate today. So I'll take you through this real quickly, and then The only thing that's changed is we made a few modifications, which I'll go over when we get to the actual finished total for the spreadsheet that's coming around right now. And then I'll also give you a little bit more detail on the public relations aspect of the budget. But basically, our goals is, you know, some of these are fairly obvious, but sometimes it's necessary to repeat these. Obviously, increased transit occupancy tax and sales tax revenues. We want to continue to enhance our Discover Your Better Nature theme and use the tourism website and chamber website, www.morrobay.org. Develop and maintain the strategic alliance with the Visitor Center and County VCB, which, as everybody's aware, that they did approve our request, and we're still going to be a part of that, which I think is very valuable. Create a new level of awareness among travel writers, which will probably be the biggest aspect of our new budget. Making it work, we want to start marketing more specific local events. This is something that's a little counter to what we have been done in the past. This is not to say that we're going to throw a lot of money behind it, but that we would market local events to out-of-market tourism. Continue to target the empty nesters. Still, again, the bulk of our money is spent in the off-season because we realize that in July and August and in June, latter part of June, that we're going to be fairly full, hopefully. But, again, we have to target the people who are able to come in the off-season, who can come midweek, and those tend to be people who have children who have grown. I think I've said this many times before, but I didn't realize why anybody took a vacation in the summertime until I had a kid. Getaway for the people in the Bakersfield and Fresno. And with Pismo Beach and Avila Beach, if you look at some of the room rates now, they're starting to price themselves out of some of the abilities of some of the people in Bakersfield and Fresno. Where they're able to get a higher room rate, their occupancy is actually going down a bit. So I think we can target some of those people and let them know that they can still come over and enjoy clear sunny skies and where the summer sun spends the winter, as was our old motto, in Morro Bay, and still do it in an affordable way. And enhance the fulfillment tool of the Morro Bay website. In other words, keep enhancing the site, keep improving upon it. New print, creative, as I mentioned, the next meeting I'd like to present some new creative ideas for Discover Your Better Nature theme. The new DVD for press writers, we'll have that duplicated. You guys approved the cover for that a couple meetings ago. Internet marketing will be an aspect of our plan, as well as print advertising. And then looking at some additional television broadcast advertising. And then probably the biggest area that's going to be for change is public relations, and I'll cover that in a moment. And then as you've seen today, the new press kit folders, which we have. So again, I think that the last year was spent sort of getting our tools together, and this year will be spent in implementing some of the things that we now have. As far as the print campaign, what I tried to do is to look at some new things, but also not throw out the things that have worked well in the past. Sunset Magazine, still suggesting we continue to get a good level of response from that. The Travel 50 and Beyond was one that we tried about a year ago, and according to the Chamber and looking at the results, it's done very well for us. It's one of our few national publications, but it's very targeted, obviously, to the age of which an empty nester, 50-plus, and then people interested in travel. Slow County Guide, which we've been in every year. The LA Times Travel Guides, which, again, are the small little ads that go into the travel full run of the LA Times travel page. LA Times Magazine's focusing on the two times a year, spring and fall, when they offer a travel guide, very similar to the Sunset Magazine. Birders World, Central Coast Tourism Council publication, Valley Co-op with the county, email campaigns, suggesting that we continue to do those with the LA Times to build our database. Go ahead and pass that around if you would. And here's also Travel 50 and Beyond, just for anybody's reference. And so one of the reasons why I'm suggesting that we would go into the focus on living, and then also right below that is the Fresno Bee in a magazine called Imagine, which I don't have a copy of, but it's very similar to Focus on Living. The reason being is that when we run in the newspaper in those publications, they tend to be pretty expensive, and so we're forced to run a small ad. Color is almost the double the price of the ad. In other words, if the ad is $800, it's endowed about another $600 to run for color. So what happens is we're forced to run a small black and white ad, and it's rather disappointing when you see it because it doesn't really have that same look that it does when we see it up on the screen and I present it to you guys. So what the thought is that we can go in still hit the readers of the publication, but go into a slick magazine where we can afford color, afford a little larger ad. Same being true for the Fresno Bee. The Fresno Bee is a bit different in that the Fresno Bee goes to select 25,000 households by income. And again, even though we're still, as I mentioned, we're pricing affordability, we're still hitting those empty nesters by going after a higher, older demographic, a little bit more upscale. Then a new addition is Sierra Magazine, and this is a magazine that, if you're a member of the Sierra Club, that you receive. And again, with our theme of Discover Your Better Nature, it seemed like a really appropriate publication. And we're earmarking, specifically, they're going to be coming out in the winter with a special bird festival section. So basically, it'll be a section that will have some editorial to it, that will talk about bird festivals throughout the country. So this is a national publication. And we would be in the back of the publication in the travel section, because to run a full page in Sierra Magazine is around $40,000, $50,000. So it's prohibitive to run inside the magazine, but they, it is quite affordable to run in the travel section, very similar to like Sunset Magazine.
But you want to get some editorial in the body of the magazine, which should be...
Right.
I think that the key for folks... we kind of know this, but for other people to understand and know is that it's one thing to when you look at what is it, living, focus on living,
right?
And you look at the size of the publications, they're almost identical. The fact that that one's and the
example is someone gave me Legion magazine, which goes to every American Legion member. And, I mean, it's a thin little publication. I think the first ad in it is an ad for you can buy, like, three pairs of pants for $29.95. So you kind of think, this can't be very expensive. It's $53,000 for a full page because it goes to 2 million American Legion members. I mean, so if you're going to get 2 million readers, you're going to pay for it.
So, a paragraph of editorial content in that next section that's regional in the Sierra Club magazine.
Right.
It's, I feel like, the MasterCard here. That's priceless, because that is your huge readership, if we can get that.
And this will definitely be a target for us, because I think that Sierra Magazine is the type of... I mean, I think they would find Morro Bay very interesting in a lot of ways. I think not, with the Bird Festival, of course, being one, but just the whole Discover Your Better Nature theme fits really well with the Sierra Club.
Well, I definitely think that along... This opens the door for us to establish a relationship with them. And I'm just thinking, you know, the solicitation to bring their travel writers out here is, I mean, the door's wide open for that. And I think that that's definitely what we're...
And they're big offices up in San Francisco, so it's not like they're, you know,
back
real far away. I mean, they do have back east offices, but they're big in the Northern California area. So it's not, I don't think it's too much of a wish that we couldn't get them.
Well, and I think, John, it's important, too, to remember that you know this very well, but we can send press release after press release and media kit and phone call and phone call, and it might take them 2 years to write something
right.
about us.
Right.
So we have to keep that in mind. But it is a process, and I think that it's, you know, we're cracking the nut, and so this is just getting us started on a really good journey. I mean, not to say that we're not already started on that journey, but it isn't something that just because we're advertising in them, all of a sudden they're going to say, oh, great, well, let's do a feature story on you.
Right.
So
but advertise and then, for some reason, create Estuary Awareness Month and talk about having one.
I think there already is.
Well, and let Sierra Club know that we've got one of the two or three pristine, as mentioned in the thing, estuaries. Now they have an editorial content, given the bent of the magazine, to actually have a corresponding story, because it does fit in with their agenda.
Right. So this, to continue on, broadcast television, we're suggesting that we go on KGET Bakersfield, which is... Of course, the non-traditional advertising, we've mentioned before many times, the DVD will have the public relations outreach, event publicity, as I mentioned at the start, where we're going to start talking about really marketing our local events to visitors. And realizing that when we have a lighted boat parade, that we have a lot of people come already. But this is to let people know that there's a lot of things going on in Morro Bay, a lot of things happening. And also utilizing with travel writers, as we talked about, and then the internet marketing with LATimes.com, which is becoming more traditional, I guess, advertising. It used to be the kind of the unique thing you did, but now more and more internet is becoming probably, I have to probably throw that in the traditional column next year. And then, you know, some of the ads that you, this was actually more for the benefit of the committee, the presentation that I made to the business committee, but we want to revise some of our ads. This was the ad that we ran in National Geographic, which just ran this last, this was through our budget from last year. And these are the ads that we would run, you know, these are the familiar ads that we ran in the Sunset Magazine. And as you can see, that the idea here was to play off of the destination guide with a similar feel and look. And a lighted boat parade ad. Birders World. And this part, I'm going to just refer you to the spreadsheet because this does not reflect the changes that were made. Basically, the main changes that we talked about in the budget subcommittee, which are reflected onto the spreadsheet, is that we added the billboard rework for $1,500. The budget subcommittee really liked the idea of Sierra Magazine, so we took moved some budget around and we went two times in Sierra. And then also we added SkyWest Magazine because they're going to be doing a special edition on American castles, and we kind of thought that they probably would include Hearst Castle in that. It's about the only American castle that I can think of.
SkyWest goes with which airline? AmericaWest or Delta?
AmericaWest.
AmericaWest, okay.
It's actually part of Delta. And then in addition to that, as you go down, we see where we've got, I've mentioned Focus on Living and the various print publications. We would have budget set aside for artwork and production, of course, new web site development, web maintenance. So we continue that in a pretty aggressive way. And then the public relations campaign is something that I'll go through right now.
Doesn't like time frame. So we're looking at objectives first.
Right. So basically the objectives of this plan are to increase the impact of Morro Bay's promotional campaign by going after the credible media that we can't get through paid advertising. Like Sierra is a good example. I think David just mentioned that and Ed, I mean, we can't afford to spend $40,000 for a full page, but I think that it's certainly in the realm with Morro Bay and looking at something like a Sierra publication, National Geographic Traveler, we have something for those, the benefit of those readers. And that's really what an editor is going to look at. And as Heather mentioned, it's not going to be a matter whether we ran a $2,000 one column ad in the magazine. Wouldn't even be a matter if we ran a full page ad. In fact, as you get into these higher national publications like Travel and Leisure, Sunset, you can actually make them mad by offering a bribe of advertising. I mean, they have such a big budget for their travel writers that they really, the only thing that's going to make them come write a story is whether it's going to have an impact on their readers. And I think that that Morro Bay has an advantage there over other destinations. To we want to make it easy for professionals to find Morro Bay, so obviously utilizing the DVD, the new press folders, as I mentioned before. Basically, the plan is to develop the press kits using the new folders, send the press kits to the targeted media, and we want to update and maintain and enhance the current media list. We have a database right now, but that's always changing. People, editors change. We want to keep that up to date, and that's part of what we would be doing in our media and our public relations portion. Write press releases of newsworthy items, become available, and schedule integrals for planned events. Also, a big part of successful PR is follow-up with the press. So we would follow up after we send the articles to see if there's an interest in any other information that they may need. We'd also like to secure media appearances for Morro Bay, representatives to promote the city, plan and implement media functions at key events like the Harbor Festival, Car Show, Bird Festival, Holiday, the Boat Parade, and basically here is to be able to have material that would, in the past, we've had the events, but send out press releases, do a little more to promote the events to the press, publish an events calendar in the local and regional publications, and I think this is a need to be able to know in advance that we're going to be able to have places that they can stay at no charge. You want to pull that up a little bit?
That's the
Further develop with the website, direct media to the website as a component. This would really actually come more out of the website budget. But as a component to the design of the website, we're going to be having a little more user-friendly media page. We have one now, but we're going to enhance that. And, okay, thanks. Next page. And then developing a press kit, as we talked about, this would be housed into the media folders, but an introductory letter with a message that's customized by publication. In other words, is it a birding publication? Is it, you know, something like Sierra? So it would be customized for that publication. A list of story ideas. Again, you just never know what somebody's going to write about, whether it be the estuary, the bird festival, the boat parade. So giving them kind of an overview of all the different things that take place in Morro Bay. New promotional DVD, current press releases, the annual calendar of events. We would also include the destination guide till those run out, Morro Bay press contact information, and all of this would be housed in the press kit. We'll be delivering, as part of the component of this PR proposal, we would be delivering all the press kits to the publications, for getting them stuffed and getting them mailed out. I mentioned about the media list before. This would be something that would be enhanced and updated, maintained by us. And then the press releases would go out, and these are some of the targeted events of 4th of July, Merchant Street Fair, Art in the Park, Harbor Festival, Christmas Street Fair, Lighted Boat Parade, Bird Festival, when the tall ships come. We also talked about an idea of Morro Bay Nature City, having a kind of a specific promotion that we would come around there.
Let me stop you for just, if I could interrupt you. It was interesting last week at the business forum last Thursday, Andrea Luker was the speaker. She brought with her a list of events that go on that they know and permit between city staff and either the promotions committee or the visitor center, because we knew that we had a feeling that there's these events that get permitted that people come into City Hall that we never find out about. You know, whether some of them, the people don't want to be promoted. You know, they don't want, just leave us alone. And others do. So I had more the attitude was, you know, we really don't care if you don't want to be promoted. We're going to exploit you anyway. But that being said, so I will get that list to you.
Okay, and that would be great.
It sure fill up a calendar.
And then, you know, I think that probably a good example of successful publicizing an event, how you can take it to the next level, would be like the tall ships when the Endeavor came. I mean, these are the kinds of things that, I mean, it's one thing to put out the press release and have it run a paragraph in the Tribune, but to really put some emphasis behind it and have the materials that the paper can run, because if you give a newspaper a picture, then you're much more assured of getting something run with a picture. I mean, that sounds really silly, but it's true. You're going to get back whatever you give them. So this would be giving them more material, following up. I think that, you know, the jazz concert was a good example. I mean, that came so fast, but I think we really could have promoted that and probably had a greater attendance. Next year, we know that if it comes about, that we'll be able to promote that. So I talked about event calendar promotion. This would be where we would actually hit all the different publications to get into their calendar of events. Media events, we want to work on deepening the relationship with Morro Bay and the media and the public. Again, this would be arranging a table, like, say, at the Harbor Festival, the Bird Festival, the Car Show, where we would be able to give out press information on Morro Bay to the media that would be showing up there. We actually do that at the Harbor Festival. It's probably one of the only ones that really has a big media outreach. Major stories, we would, part of this plan would be write and pitch two major stories during the year. These would be stories, these are just examples, but Morro Bay, remarkable and affordable. The story would be targeted to Inland Empire travel writers, senior related publications to promote Morro Bay as an affordable and remarkable place to spend the weekend or midweek. This would be done to further develop the website so it's more user friendly to the media. And this would be under the media pass portion of the website. So quick facts about Morro Bay, like a fact sheet that they would download, photo archive, which we have now. We would actually suggest in this section story ideas, which would come out of what we talked about earlier. Press releases, so this would be where you could download all the different press releases that had been done, so an archive of press releases. Calendar of events and request for press kit, then media and film contact information, which could be a link to the county as well. So this is sort of the budget breakdown for this. Press kit development, 1,400, media list management, 350, and these are all basically time costs, not hard costs. Press release, writing the press releases, event calendar promotion, media event coordination, major stories, hard costs associated with the above work, and then the website, which again would come out of the website budget. So the total is $10,000. As you look at each category, it's not a lot of money, but when you add it all up, it gets to be considerable. The difference here is that in the past, our agencies always said, well, we'll help you with PR, because there really was never a budget for it. We would send out a press release. You know, I guess the Endeavor is a good example that we might, you know, we would try to send out when we had the destination guides. We did send those to travel writers. But this is really a more concerted effort, more detailed. It's more money, but the reason it is because, frankly, we have to pay, you know, people to do this as well. So we have to capture some of those costs to do it effectively. And I think, again, with the budget being what it is, we need to go out and earn this other $100,000 that we don't have. And the way to do that is through public relations. So when you consider $10,000 in the scheme of things, it's a couple of ads.
You get two paragraphs in Sierra Magazine from a press release, and guess what? You just paid for that threefold. So,
right. Yeah, this is pretty easy money to be recouped with a success of a story. And again, I think that, you know, the good news is that we have a great product to sell to the press. And I think as long as it's targeted properly, especially to things like Sierra, National Geographic Traveler, that are more nature-oriented, Outside Magazine, I mean, I think those publications we could do real well in. Seat of what's beneficial to the readers. Well, if they can pinpoint an affordable getaway to their readers, that's what they're looking for.
So, John, do we, and maybe this is a question for the chamber, but do we have any rate surveys of all the hotels so that we know how affordable it actually is to stay here? Because I know some of the comments I've heard on and on are that we do, I mean, a lot of the hotels do charge too much probably to stay in the quality of rooms that they provide. Is that something that we've ever researched?
That's really hard to keep track of.
Sure.
Because the weekly rate changes. The weekend rate can change as the day goes on even.
Right.
So that's not typically something that we've even... I think we've inquired in the past a little bit, and we have gotten some of those rates, but it's just so hard to stay on top of, and a lot of the people don't even want to tell you.
Right. My other question in terms of your whole PR campaign is, I know we've talked several times about clipping services, and a good portion, the majority of the work is getting all of the information out there, but we also want to make sure that if somebody writes something about us, we realize that they actually wrote something about us so we can monitor the results. How are we planning to track that?
Really, the only thing we can do is request. You know, usually if you're going to get somebody asking for photographs, or if they're asking if they're going to come, you're going to know that they're going to be writing a story, and all you can do is simply request that they give you a copy. That was done recently. I think I brought it a couple meetings ago with one of the cruising publications, sailboat cruising publications. I mean, she called, wanted photographs, and I said, I'll give you the photographs, just promise that you'll send me the magazine. That's, and that's a very simplistic way to do it, other than, you know, a clipping service is really, really cost prohibitive. But that would be the effort, would be to try to get, you know, those publications that we know about. And because, frankly, that's been sort of the frustration, is I know that we've had more press than we've seen, and a lot of times it comes through the chamber because somebody that's a visitor or somebody from out of town decides to be nice and cut the article out and send it in. And that's how we've seen a lot of these.
Would you do me a favor, and probably for all of us, would you, because I've heard this before, I mean, all my tourism life, about how expensive clipping services are. Would you bring us an idea of how much it would cost? Is it software that you can subscribe to and actually do it yourself? Is it something, you know, with the internet now, is there other ways to go about, you know?
The print article is going to end up appearing on the internet.
Because I just figure, let's say, for example, let's say it cost the committee, we spent $5,000, and I'm just throwing the number out. If that resulted in us seeing, you know, four articles that we would have never, ever known even existed without that, once again, I mean, granted, we had to pay to learn that. But if we learn that, my gosh, the value of that.
I imagine the way it would work is that you would give the service your target publications. They would monitor those publications, and you can do that pretty simply now. I'm sure we've all done it. You go on the internet, and if you go on LA Times and you type in search and you put in Morro Bay, it's going to give you all the articles that have been written over the last, you know, couple of years. That's probably how it's done. So it may be now that it's not as cost prohibitive because of the internet, but I have a feeling it's still going to be fairly substantial.
Well, I think, too, the other side of the coin is, having an advertising background, is if there's something that's written about us that's truly effective, hopefully we'll know because it'll be effective, and they'll come into the Chamber of Commerce and say, I came here because of this article. Or,
right.
So, I mean, I don't know. But then again, too, how many people don't come in and say anything? I don't know.
It all should be reflected in the TOT and in the sales tax. I mean, if you see a dramatic increase in our TOT, you'll know our advertising is working. I think what Heather's looking for is a tracking device, and having an advertising background, Heather, as you and I both have, we'd like to see the results of our work, and a clipping service would do that with the PR, but I don't know whether it would be worthwhile.
Well, I think as part of this, I mean, just it's more of a planned effort as opposed to, you know, kind of a shotgun approach that we've done in the past, where we may just blitz out, you know, like the treasure chest and not follow up because it was just, we just didn't have the budget to do it. And now I think is if we do the follow up with the publications, we're going to know whether they're going to write a story. And again, it's fairly targeted. Clipping services a lot of times are used for, you know, major corporations because they want to know what people are saying about them. And that's really where the big service comes. It's not really so much as far as, you know, earned press for something of a smaller entity. That's really where those companies make their big bucks. It's because they just want some, you know, people that large companies want to know what's being said about them on a daily basis. But I'll look into it. It would be interesting to find out now what.
Is he somewhere in here, and if so, which of the?
No, that
was that the last budget.
Yes.
Oh, so that's already paid for out of the previous. Oh, okay, great, thanks.
Comments? Are you done?
Mm-hmm.
I think the only comment I have is that I'm really excited about some of the newer magazine formatted publications that we're going into. I think that they're going to be really great for us, and I think that they're a really wonderful way, like the Focus on Living in the California, and just a really great way of getting our ad out there in a very cost-effective manner. and something that I'm sure is very well read. So I'm really excited about this.
John, I think you've done a very nice job with the limited dollars that we have and redistributing them to the various media that you've done. I like the media plan. I think it's a good one and one we should adopt.
Thank you. Well, it's always a challenge because you don't want to always do the same thing over and over, but yet again, you don't want to go all new things that are unproven and throw out the things that continue to work. I mean, Sunset continues to amaze me in that we still get the same amount level of response, and I don't think it's people that already know us. I mean, they're new people because they wouldn't be asking for information. And there aren't really, when you think about it, a lot of choices if you're going to go after a regional market, because there aren't a lot of publications like other than Sunset where you're going to be able to hit California. Because if you start there's tons of publications. If you go to Borders and you look and you see all those travel publications, you go, well, how come a layperson would say, well, how come we're not in these or these or these? Well, because those are $90,000, $100,000.
National.
Yeah.
They're national,
right.
Not regional.
There just aren't very many publications that are regional like a Sunset. And, you know, the one thing we're not in is Westways, but we've continued to see Westways not produce the way Sunset produces, and yet it costs as much or more.
Well, I think this is the Travel 50 and Beyond, and it's even the Beyond the Empty Nesters. Is I think the reason it produces is I was interviewing an elderly hotel owner in New York's Catskills Mountains, and that region has seen a decline. And he was himself almost an octogenarian, I think. And I said, well, aren't you worried that, you know, as these people grow old and pass on, the people for whom your livelihood depends, your market will decrease just by attrition? He says, he pointed his fingers, young man, what you forget is there are new old people every day, thank God.
Years as these people enter that cycle.
But I think what the graphics have to represent on that, is the brochure there still? For one generation, that might have been golf. But as the baby boomers age, they may be in shape for ocean kayaking and the emphasis and for bird. In other words, they may not be the traditional things the 50 or 60 plus crowd went for a generation ago. So we have to keep updating the activities and events that might appeal to the aging baby boom population will be different from those of their predecessors.
Mm-hmm. So can we get a motion to approve the media plan?
I'll move that we approve the media plan as presented.
We get a second?
I'll second it.
In discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Yeah, John, you've done a wonderful job with this, and I congratulate you with the limited amount of funds that you have to work with and trying to make the most of it. I'm wondering if I, since we have our part of our agenda creator here with us, I wonder if we could make a presentation. It's soon enough to maybe get a brief presentation to City Council at the August 14th meeting. I know it's going to be jam-packed, but I'm talking about like a public comment, maybe just at the beginning of the meeting.
Well, to have a presentation, it has to go on the agenda. I'm not the one that really sets the City Council agenda. The city manager and the mayor discuss
that. No, I know
that. But I could definitely put it on our agenda planning guide and see where it goes.
Okay. Because part of our job was to make a presentation to council over the media plan so that we could get their approval that we were going in the direction that, because we have had comments in the past that, you know, of suggestions and ideas. And so if we could get their stamp of approval on this, even though we are moving forward with the initial part of it, that would be a good thing. And we could make it, and I could talk to John, we could do a brief PowerPoint that would, you know, only take maybe 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh.
Something like that we could do, you know, not a 20-minute presentation, no.
Just have to have this gentleman go page by page. I can get that into the slides, too.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
You did a good job, Bob.
Okay.
Either that or I'm going to stack up 27 people each to take a part of this, and we'll use up, yeah, at 3 minutes apiece, there's 85 minutes worth, as opposed to 10 in a professional presentation. So, anyway, very good. So thank you.
You know, I have one question that's not on the agenda, and I apologize if I missed this last meeting, but John, we had talked about the grant for the National Estuary Program. Whatever happened with that?
They turned us down, but I did get a positive letter, and I haven't followed up on it, which I should do, is to find out what exactly that they were interested in doing. But it was basically that we were turned down, but yet that the estuary has funds and that they would still like to possibly do some sort of co-op with us. I don't know what to what extent that would be. Maybe on some of this public relations outreach, you know, we could do that. As far as sharing an ad, I mean, I suppose that's a possibility as well. I didn't reflect this on the budget because that's still kind of a gray area that you can't really count on. If it happens, we could certainly, you know, stretch the budget. But I think what they were looking for, and I will tell you that, you know, the first time we sent it, it was fairly brief because we weren't really sure what they were looking for. And as best we can, without being grant writers, which grant writers get big, big bucks, we made it pretty extensive. I mean, we took some time with it, but I don't think it was still at a grant level stage to where they really wanted it. I mean, I thought we were fairly specific on where what we would do and where we would get, but I don't think it would fit into the mode.
John, I'll be honest with you. The folks that have been applying for those grant monies and got them make your grant proposal that you wrote look like, let's see, an editorial in the LA Times compared to...
Oh, I'm sure.
You know.
And, I know.
Because it's all local. It's pretty much all local. The grant money that they give away is you know, they give it away locally. So I'm thinking they do it four times a year, $5,000 a time. They got 20 grand to give away during the course of the year. I suggest we go after the fall one.
Well, and again, I mean, I'll follow up because it may be very well that if they want to co-op with us, you may still get your $5,000, but it may not be in the form of a grant.
Right.
Because they have a marketing budget, too, and I think that's really what she was saying. I think they felt like that it was maybe more appropriate to come out of their marketing budget.
Editorial content as well.
And again, it may just be the participation that we have from them if we do get a hit. And, you know, the one time we were on the cover of Sunset, it wasn't a photograph, but it was a listing of the story, was the estuary. And that was on the cover of Sunset Magazine, I think about 3 or 4 years ago. So the one we made the cover because of the estuary. And it was about, I think it was about a 3-page article on Morro Bay. I mean, it was definitely a home run. And it was kayaking and doing all the other things that, you know, a part of it came from, started with the estuary and then kind of, you know, spilled out from there.
One of the things that were, in looking at our declaration of future agenda items, one of the things that struck me was we lost our brainstorming item, and I'm looking back to see, we had it last month under unfinished business. However, I'm kind of wondering... We've been reserving that, I believe, towards the end of the meeting once we get our business done with. But I don't want to lose that. I mean, that's what part of what we really want to keep trying to do. How would you, and yet it's not, I don't think it's fair to put it under, and it almost should be a monthly thing. But if we follow the agenda, in this case, we would have been doing the brainstorming instead of doing the media plan. So I guess my idea is, how do you suggest we put that on the agenda, and yet so that we don't lose sight of it? Any ideas?
Can it just be an additional number on our agenda item, just before the declaration of future agenda item?
So what we could do is we could add a Roman numeral 9. And move the declaration and adjournment down, and bless you, and so item 7, Roman numeral 7, would become
right.
Would
become
a whole separate. Right. How's that? That's a good idea, Ed. How does everybody feel about that? And then it would be based on a time, you know.
If you didn't have enough time, you could just carry it over till the next meeting.
Right. It would always be there.
But it would be in front of you every single meeting. Yeah.
Right.
What, Ed, what if we put like a time on it? So we said we want to brainstorm for 15 minutes. Because realistically, we could probably brainstorm for an hour.
Well,
so
right.
I mean, we should put it on there every meeting for 15 minutes, so we spend 15 minutes on it.
With having the media plan presentation and stuff, there was, you know, you don't want to short-circuit that concept. Do you? And yet I would like, you know, I'd rather not set a time limit, a formal time limit to our meetings, just in case. I mean, it's kind of more of a feeling thing. But that's,
well, it's
but
true.
It's up to the group.
Back a year and a half ago, when the issue was the very dissolution of the community itself, we had meetings that went to 11 and 11:15, but that was involving the very keeping of the committee together, and
right.
So it would have been difficult to put it on.
But brainstorming can be 10 minutes, and it can be 20 minutes, and it can be an hour. It depends on what the discussions are about and how important we feel they are. So I wouldn't want to see a limit put on the brainstorming either.
Or you can treat it the way you would treat, in a sense, public comment, but it's public comment from within the board. Mm-hmm. And if you said, just like a public comment meeting, there are five or six or seven of us here on a given day, and everyone gets 2 or 3 minutes, like you would if you had to do public comment. Hey, I came across this, and this is sort of like show and tell from school. And then those who want to follow up on it can take up the things that were raised in the subsequent subcommittee meetings or hold a subcommittee meeting because someone had one great idea that a lot of others wanted to follow up on.
And how would you, do you see us doing that towards the end of the meeting?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
What you could do, I think the idea of having a couple of minutes, you know, each person has a certain amount of time to present like one idea, you know, come to the meeting with one thought, you know, and then that way then you get through that period pretty quickly. That could be one idea, you know, just that you just mention it.
Well, so far the problem has been is when David comes up with an idea, the rest of ours end up in the garbage can.
No.
And we spend the rest of the time
not
talking
here.
About his idea
no.
because he's so creative.
And you can sell him your minutes. You
yeah, I can sell him my minutes. Yeah.
Right. Well, here, may I demonstrate? Can we do a dry run, Bob?
Yeah.
If we do a dry run, we'll play make-believe.
That's
here.
Right. We haven't seen you since you got back from New York.
Let's play make-believe. Why don't you put these two down?
While you're doing that, I have a recommendation that if the brainstorming really gets going, that could be a new agenda item for the next meeting.
Right. The idea that comes out of that could be agendized for the next meeting.
A new business item.
Right. There you go. That's a good idea, too.
So let's go with 2 minutes and see how well I can do. While taking the train, and I'm not, again, this is a continuing item about trains and gas fare, we know that one of the stumbling blocks has always been the transportation from the station to Morro Bay. And we've given them the free companion fare certificate to use. But here's the key thing that caught my attention. Item number 3 on the right-hand side, complimentary pickup and drop-off at the Santa Barbara Amtrak station. Aha! So someone among the hoteliers has gotten together and arranged for the shuttle van to go back and forth, which has always been the stumbling block here in Morro Bay. And so it does show there is some private initiative. I will follow up and report for the next meeting exactly. I will call and find out who is paying for it and how they're working that out in Santa Barbara. But that, which has always been our stumbling block, how do we get them to the station, seems to be being undertaken by the hotels that are engaged in creating the package deal. And as I said, the Amtrak representative did tell me that if we do create a program like this, they'll print these brochures. And this is why I found this in the station in Van Nuys, California, while I was waiting for my last train. And they will print these, and they will put them in their stations and their lounge cars. So if you create a program, but obviously they're not depending on the city or the state to get people from the train station to the hotels. So
maybe they are. Not the state, but maybe they've arranged something with the city.
Well, and that's my next step is having found this on my way home is I will call their toll-free number in the Santa Barbara Hotel Group and see how they got that to happen and whether indeed they're all chipping in for the van or they've purchased something from the city and try and find that out. But the fact that the hotels are not walking distance doesn't seem to be a deterrence to them for creating some kind of a road and rail package. So. Yeah, that was just about 2.5 minutes. So there you go. That's I guess, a dry run of a brainstorming session.
What do you got? This was an ad that was in the local Tribune, Get Your Fill of the Good Life, from Costa Mesa advertising to our people with a group of hotels and drive and dine on us and fill up on great memories. It's a offer to stay a minimum of 2 nights in these listings of Costa Mesa hotels, and they will give you a $30 restaurant certificate every night of your stay, as well as a $30 gas certificate for gasoline. And they're advertising to our people here in town. So it's just an idea that if we could get our local hotels to do something like this and advertise in Costa Mesa, it might be a way to go. But it shows the competition is
there. Where was this?
This was in the Tribune.
Costa Mesa is that's a pretty upscale.
It's an upscale Orange County resort area. But they're looking.
People come here from Fresno and Bakersfield. What are they hoping?
It's a weekend getaway where they're getting gasoline concession and two $30 gift certificates.
So it's basically the attraction is money and cheap, not necessarily the place
that's
is
right.
gorgeous.
It's a fast getaway.
Well, it's an inexpensive way to go to Newport, basically. I used to live in Costa Mesa. Yeah. So, I mean, basically, and then you've got, it's also, you've got South Coast Plaza. So, I mean, you get this mega shopping.
And if you look at the demographics, at least when we consistently take a look, it's amazing, just amazing how many people that live in beach communities vacation in other beach communities. Huntington Beach, Newport Beach, Costa Mesa, Long Beach. I mean, there's just all these, it's San Diego, and that kind of thing. So it is amazing how many beach people go to other beach places. So. Anyway, okay, so we kind of have an agenda item going. Maybe we're going to add.
If I may.
Yes, you may.
If you are changing the format of your agenda, you should do that by motion.
Okay. Would somebody like to make a motion regarding the addition of a ninth Roman numeral, where Roman numeral number 7 would now become brainstorming session or brainstorming,
do you name it,
and we'll do it.
Do you think we could title it something like creative discussions or something to that degree?
You have a problem with brainstorming?
Yeah, brainstorming is such a commonly used, but it's
okay.
A creative discussion.
Creative discussion. Well, that's
how about new ideas?
New ideas.
How do you spell that?
New ideas presentation as an item to precede the declaration of future agenda items. I would propose a motion that we add such an item to the agenda permanently, a new ideas presentation on behalf of the assembled members.
Okay, well, can we keep it to 20 words or less?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was attempting to define it as opportunity for members to.
How about just discussion of new ideas?
Discussion of new ideas.
Mm-hmm. Does that work for you?
New ideas.
For the moment?
Yeah, sure.
New okay.
Ideas.
Is that so?
I move that.
Two items would move down.
Yes,
perfect. Thank you very much. Any future agenda items? Besides adding agenda items?
Where's the billboard? Where do we stand with the billboard?
Well, now that it's been approved, I'll bring back a design, and I think we had showed 3 ideas last time, and you guys gave me some direction, so I'll bring that back.
Okay.
Also, what I'll do too is that I'll go ahead and email the media plan, so you have the spreadsheet, but I can send you the public relations plan. I'll email that to everybody.
Okay.
That presented today.
Great. So, could we get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Can we second?
Seconding that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thank you very much. Thank you, Bridget.